Hello, and welcome to the Healing Dreams Project, exploring projective dream work for your health and wholeness with hosts Billy Ortiz and
Hello.
Dr. Royce Fitz. I am the producer, Viviana, and today we have a very special guest. We have Thea Rademacher. She has dreamed herself many paths in life. She began her professional career as a social justice attorney for legal aid, representing mothers in family law cases who had been victims of domestic abuse. While raising her four sons, she was the director of a nonprofit that assisted mothers in poverty. She designed and sold bead jewelry, and in 2015, after a life-changing experience, co-authoring a book with her dear friend Royce Fulmer about his experience on a secret mission in World War II, she founded FlintHillsPublishing.com, whose catalog now includes over 80 titles. She's very excited to be working with a new Royce, this time with our Royce, Dr. Royce Fitz, whose forthcoming book, The Geography of the Soul, Dreams, Reality, and the Journey of a Lifetime, will be available in spring of 2023. Welcome, Thea. We're so happy to have you.
Well, it's just an honor to be coming to you from my kind of cold little office in Topeka, Kansas. And it's a thrill to connect with all of you. I'm very excited to see what's going to happen today.
We are too. We're super excited. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. You know, just to kind of build on that, this is not any kind of a pre-programmed discussion. We simply begin with the process of a beautiful dream from a beautiful soul named Thea. Mm-hmm. And I just want to underline that for all of our listeners and people who view the YouTube version of this, that your dreams are amazing and they're on your side. And we will see how Thea's dream is on her side, as well as on all of our sides. The dream advocates for us.
That's really lovely. Yeah, thank you.
Would you write that down, please, and put it in my book?
We'll use it, Royce. Yes.
No, thank you. I mean that. We mean that. Yeah.
It's wonderful, and it's a lovely way to, you know, to take some time for me to reflect, do something for myself, and to just say yes, because I just have a good intuitive feeling that it's going to be a good process.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sometimes we dive into it, and we didn't discuss this prior, but I'm curious more about Thea. Would you like, I'd love to ask you, like, what other authors you represent in your publishing company, that kind of thing?
Oh, well, you've asked me a question that I get very excited about, because I work with some amazing people. And, you know, it's kind of like when, you know, if somebody asks you, you know, who's your favorite child is, I want to make sure that I don't, you know, leave anybody out. But so what comes to mind, of course, is Royce, and we are well underway with his book. We're getting to the point now where we're tweaking and putting on some fun finishing things. And soon I will be talking with Royce a lot about the marketing of his book. And let me tell you, authors just love that. But I have some other authors I've worked with for years who've been very busy during the pandemic. I'm working with Marcia Sobolska, who is a very successful playwright who pivoted to writing books at this stage of her life. And she has a memoir that will be coming out this spring. I am working with a young adult author, Emil Saconia. We're getting ready to finish up his third book in his young adult trilogy. I have published a book for Clyde Tolan, who is a very famous Kansan, an attorney who has completed a three-volume series. He spent over three decades working on about a historical figure, Fred Funston, who just had a tremendous life, and Clyde has done a lot of original research, and I'm very excited and for Clyde that we've been able to publish that. And this Thursday night, I have a book event in Lawrence, Kansas for another attorney. I don't specialize just in attorneys, but I've had a couple this last year. Bill Sampson, who was a very successful litigator. When he retired, he wrote a novel that features a little basketball team. You might have heard of them, the KU Jayhawks. So that's a very exciting project. So I have a very eclectic approach to my catalog, other than I want books that are inspiring, that will lift the vibe, that will inform, entertain, inspire, and that the authors are all really cool human beings that I enjoy working with. Oh my goodness, I'm thinking of so many others. I would encourage you to look at the website, flinthillpublishing.com, if you're looking for a good read, as we all should be, I think.
Mm-hmm. Wow, thank you. Those are wonderful descriptions.
Well, it's an intimate process to work, in a boutique, shall we call it, publishing company, to work one-on-one with the authors. It's a very intimate process, and you really get to know somebody and their temperament and their strengths and abilities when you do that. So it's cool. I've met a lot of really great people.
Mm-hmm. Attorneys do tend to be authors, don't they?
Oftentimes nonfiction. So it's been cool to see Bill Sampson write a fiction book. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, it's a very charming book. It's a very sweet book, I think.
Well, I think it reflects your own, Thea's curiosity about people and that kind of deeply ingrained sense of authenticity and hope that I always pick up from you as we converse. And there are a lot of voices in the world, and this voice of authenticity and hope is very lovely and inspiring. So I feel like that is how I experience your publishing company and you.
Stop it, Royce. You're just making me feel so good. I do appreciate that very much.
Well, and we could get more into that. However, how about if everybody's ready, we listen to a dream that you've had, and then we'll reflect and project.
Well, I intentionally did not. I like to prepare for things, as you can imagine. So this whole experience of, just stepping into talking with all of you and not being like the attorney super prepared with their notes, it's a different experience for me. And I have told this dream to several people throughout my life, and I get very emotional every time I tell it. And I've just almost wondered, how I'm going to feel when I share this dream with you, because this dream happened to Thea when she was 4 years old. And it was 1966. So yes, I had a big birthday last December. And I can remember a lot of details about it. So what happened? I was in the dream. I am in my mother's parents' home. And I was in the family room. And there's a green shag carpet and a beautiful stone fireplace. This is true. And this was a home that my grandfather had and my grandmother had built together. My grandpa was a home builder, and he had actually built the home. So there was a lot of love and care in that home. And so I have memories, both from the dream and from reality.
Thea, can I make one suggestion real quick? In order to help us enter the dream, can you stay within the dream material first and tell it like a story, like you're casting a spell?
Just the actual dream. Got it.
And also do your best to keep it in present tense, because I noticed that, and that's a tough one because we remember it as it's already happened. So I liked how you did change it at the beginning. You said, I am in my mother's parents' home. So let's start from there.
Oh, that's very helpful. Good note. Thank you. Okay. I am 4 years old. I'm in my grandparents, on my mother's side, living room. And my aunt, Kay, is sitting in a wooden rocking chair. And I know in my dream that my Aunt Kay had died in a car accident. And I, okay, now I know how I'm gonna feel. She said, little Renee, it's okay. It's your aunt, it's me, it's Aunt Kay. And I walk up and I crawl in her lap. And she hugs me and she tells me that she loves me and that everything's okay. And we rock. That's the dream.
Beautiful. Thank you. So tell us about Aunt Kay. Give us some, first of all, it's good to start with adjectives, like ways to describe her personality, like smart, funny, kind, whatever.
Well, see, that's the thing. I have no memory of Aunt Kay other than that dream. I was 4 years old. She was my father's younger sister, and she had four children. And I believe she was 27 or 28, and there was an icy road, and she slid off the road, and she and her baby daughter were killed, and the three boys, my cousins, survived.
And they were in the car.
They were all in the car. She didn't have a washer and dryer, so she was leaving the farm to drive into town to do laundry on a cold winter icy day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I have no personal memory other than that dream. I have seen pictures of her, of course, and I've talked to her siblings and my grandma. And so I have impressions from them about her, but no personal knowledge, as an attorney would say.
Yeah. So I know it's hearsay, but what was it that they told me about my aunt?
That she is a loving spirit, a jokester, love to have fun, love children, love life, dark curly hair, always trim, fit, obviously worked very hard. And, you know, I can infer, growing up in a small town in Kansas, that the expectation was that she would get married early and not have her own education. But I also know from the family, I can expect that she was probably really, really smart.
Mm-hmm. So when I was four, this is when I had the dream.
Yes.
And when did she die in relation to my age?
Within days of that dream.
So she died prior to my and so it was very close. I dreamt of her after her death, and the death was quite recent.
Yes, and we were without our own mother because mother was in the hospital with my cousin who had been very severely injured. So I was being cared for by grandma and grandpa on the other side of the family, mother's side, mm-hmm. where the aunt was on father's side.
And I don't have any waking life physical memories of my aunt, only what I know in the dream and what her wonderful legend is.
Correct. It's almost like there is just a solid black wall of demarcation, that there is no memory of Aunt Kay in the physical life that I had shared with her, with, mm-hmm. you know, getting together, things, none. Mm-hmm.
this is, I thank you for sharing a dream from childhood, because this is something I encourage people that I work with to do often, because sometimes we will have that dream that hangs with us for our entire life. And, mm-hmm. And the fact I was very moved by the emotion that came up in the dreamer. So in my version of the dream, it's one of those things, places where it gets overwhelmingly confusing, because there's one aspect which I tend to follow also about dream work, is that everything in the dream is a representation of myself. So a lot of it would be my projections onto who Aunt Kay is, but this, it has that tone of like, it really feels like a visitation. And I think of both and happens frequently with these type of dreams. Someone that has passed on can appear in the dream, but also I have to say to myself, why this dream now? And why did Aunt Kate come to me? And especially since I don't remember any interaction with her while she was alive. So there's a trail there of understanding how is she connected to me, and why would be the questions I would ask myself.
Oh yes, I ask myself that a lot too, and I have a lot of answers for that. A lot. Yes. but that's, you know, representative of my perspective,
mm-hmm.
Spiritually, and also from research I've done. I asked her sisters about their experiences, and I don't know if that's relevant or it's what something you want to talk about, but. They also had similar experiences, but in different settings around the same time.
Meaning that she came to them in the dream?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wonderful. So as a dreamer, I've talked to Kay, my Aunt Kay's sisters, and each and every one of them had her visit just days after her passing, or?
The older sister had a visitation, a dream that Aunt Kay greeted her at the end of her bed.
Oh.
And I honestly, the younger sister, I think, had a visitation, but, or, you know, a similar experience, but we've not really talked about it too specifically. Mm-hmm. But my impression was yes. But I know the oldest sister definitely did.
What about the children that survived the car crash?
What do you mean?
Well, you said that they were in a car. She was in a car crash going to the mm-hmm. laundromat, and the mm-hmm. her baby daughter died, and she died. Yes. But there were three
other boys.
So the mm-hmm. boys that were in the car, have you talked to them about their dreams?
Oh no, because they are very hold their emotions close to their chest. Kansas,
mm-hmm.
you know, farm boys, men, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. So no, that's just not something that you would talk about. And also, you know, like many families, things got complex with divorces and mm-hmm. distance. And, you know, they grew up on a farm, and we had different life experiences. You know, I had the ability and privilege of getting to go to college and more, and they had different paths, very successful in their paths, but just very different. So we don't have that level of conversation.
Okay. Thank you.
And being raised on the prairie, I understand that kind of stoic, mm-hmm. Stiff upper lip, mm-hmm. And it's not just only in that geographical location, but it is very understandable that it is in that geographical location that mm-hmm. that males tend to not have openings within themselves because of the culture and the layout, the landscape of the souls there, would not have the permission necessarily to. If they did have a visitation, or if they did have those kinds of feelings, it would be very difficult for that to come out and be okay in the midst of peers, in the midst of family. That sense of vulnerability, is very severe. And and so I'm curious, because there is a there is a tendency in parts of the dreamer's family, if this were my dream, that there is an avenue for some of these experiences to come into consciousness. And I'm curious about how does that happen in this particular experience, that I, as the dreamer, have a kind of an opening within me that I'm able to be attuned to this.
Oh, thank you for saying that. And Billy, I did want to say that that is something I've never thought about, that how odd it was that there was never that conversation with my cousins.
Yeah.
You know, we just continued on. So that's something I'm going to revisit. So thank you. Royce, this dream was so profound for me because around the time after that happened, I was very fortunate to be born at a time where I had many, many living great grandparents, great great aunts and uncles, and I had been born over in Germany because my dad was in the army, and then we came back. So there were about 2 years where people didn't meet me, and then I think what happened was all my relatives descended on me. Well, and then when I'm about five, they all started dying. And I, you know, had gotten all this love from these old people, and then everyone started dying. And I was getting a little bit freaked out about death as a five-year-old. But I think that this dream from Aunt Kay had comforted me greatly. And I very much my whole life have been on a very spiritual path. And by that, I mean, not religious, but a spiritual path where I am working to be my authentic self and to have my understandings. And my understanding is, my knowing for me is, that consciousness survives the body, that we are able to communicate with those who are in a different dimension, a different realm. And I believe that in this dream, it was Aunt Kay setting a light for me to say, yeah, Thea, if that's your path, it can happen. So it was very important.
I see Viviana's energy.
Ah, well, thank you, Thea, for sharing such a profound and poignant dream and time of I will say, my life. I'm struck with the fact that I'm in my mother's parents' home. So it's the ancestor, the home of the ancestors. So it's kind of a time, and whenever death is portrayed in a dream, my good friend Billy always says, it's a time of deep transformation and in the psycho-spiritual in every possible way. So it's the ancestors, it's my future, it's everything coming together with Aunt Kay telling us, telling me, telling all of us, the family, that little Renee is okay, we're okay, and everything is going to be okay. And that shower of love, and the fact that then in my life I start experiencing all these deaths, I can bring this dream in and remind myself, and I would assume that I did that maybe, or at least if it were my dream, I would, you know, it's what brought me on this path of, yes, life or something, consciousness continues. And in a way that's, I, as Viviana, I do subscribe to that as well, that I feel like this is not our only time and that we do move on. And I find deep comfort in that. And the fact that Aunt Kay came in and told me all this, I just found it incredibly warm, loving, comforting. It's almost like, you know, warm chicken soup or something just for the soul. So it was just so beautiful to hear this dream of a four-year-old, of a vulnerable little girl who's going through a deep, deep, heavy, heavy loss that has probably marked me for my entire life and brought me close and hand in hand with death and the ability to speak of death and the ability to see the beautiful transformations that come as a result of death.
Thank you for that. It inspires me that the dream can be inspiring for you. I also think, you know, it did not, well, I don't, it wasn't the dream, but it was the experience that definitely, you know, created difficult situations for Mimi in life, because as I mentioned, her baby daughter died as well. And I remember my mom, I don't think they told me, but I overheard it that, and then I was told as an adult that the baby was buried in her arms. So they were buried in the same coffin together. And that was an image that haunted me for many years. And then when I had my own four sons, you know, I'm finding I'm a bit of a physical control freak, you know. So those have been opportunities for me to really grow, to let go of that fear and control. And yes, to be comforted by, you know, my knowledge and, but still, you know, I am a human mom, you know, on the material plane, who gets a little freaked out when her kids are out, you know, driving at night and where are they kind of thing. So, yeah.
Well, this
what month were you born in? Just out of curiosity.
I'm a Sagittarius, December. Okay. So that's where that optimism comes from. But, you know, Sages are kind of known for being like great big St. Bernards with dirty feet that want to jump up on your white couch. So I'm always, you know, trying to keep my feet a little clean. But, you know, it can be challenging.
So, excuse me. I need to cough. Billy, you want to take over?
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Sure. I'll be the cough button. The one thing that struck me here was that, and I was very moved by what Viviana was talking about too, that there's something that's linking me to my ancestors, you know, all lines, forward and ahead, forward and back. Because I'm in my mother's parents' house. But Aunt Kay is my father's younger sister, right?
Well, and I could make it even a little more complex by sharing some information with you. I found out when I was 49 years old that my father's side of the family, I'm not biologically related to. Mm-hmm. That my mother was raped by a high school boyfriend, conceived me. She had been dating my dad, and I do consider him my dad. My dad said he'd marry my mom and make me his daughter. Now, the story gets even more complicated with how my mother described, you know, my origin story. But again, for me as an adult, that is an interesting story that's completely irrelevant, because biology gives me my DNA, what I'm going to look like, a lot of other things, right? But it's the soul, not the body. That was my mantra as I ran on my treadmill for hours after I learned this you know, news when I was 49. So you know, a lot of layers.
Well, and thank you for being so open and transparent. I think all of us and any person who's listening to this podcast is going to have a bit of a raised eyebrow, honestly, because the dream knows all of this stuff of who I am. And so the beautiful aspect of what I heard the dreamer say is that it is about my soul, not about necessarily my DNA. And that is absolutely true. And I come from, as a dreamer, I come from all of the above and all of the below. So mm-hmm. all of that has a play in this, play in the sense of affirmation and a sense of being there for my best interests, whatever that looks like. So the dream knows all of this. And also, I'm really struck by how at 4 years of age, I'm much older in the sense of being able to perceive and experience various realms of life. That at four, to me, this is kind of spooky and also very, very natural. Because I needed assurance in the dream. I received the assurance, and then I crawl into Aunt Kay's lap. And a piece of this, too, is that for me, and this is where I move into, is this a literal kind of experience? Is this an imagination? Is this a metaphor? And as I often say, it doesn't have to be literal to be true.
Right.
This is true. So this functions as truth in my life. And it has, I was given a calling at that age, prior even probably. And this has anchored me throughout my life as I live and move and have my being in all of my life experience. So time in my experience in dreams folds in on itself. The past is the present is the future. The future is the present is the past. And so this is a very circular process. And again, metaphorically, this is as true as the air that I breathe. So this becomes my inner and outer self, and I'm moving through my life, listening and being attuned to the various callings of my ancestors, listening and being attuned to that which gives me passion in life, and listening and being attuned to do my best to express in a healing manner, how I am in the world and how I want and what I am offering to the world. And at this stage in my life, I'm doing books and I've done other amazing things. And in a sense, my ancestors, as Viviana so beautifully pointed out, are here cheering me on. And in the projective dream work process of what we know about our friend Jeremy, who is a mentor to all of us, would often say, when we grow, our ancestors are so excited because they, as they come rushing to celebrate, they also know they grow as well. They're moving towards more health and wholeness. So in my version of this dream, Aunt Kay is not just my cheerleader, although she's a beautiful, beautiful soul to do so. She's also experiencing the continuation of her own calling of being who she is in her own unique way, as all of my ancestors, whether from wherever they come.
Wow. Thank you.
Well, I've been burdened in a good sense at four. I've been burdened with this calling.
Yeah,
and not all of us are able to hold the burden and to carry it with seriousness and also with joy.
Well, I will say for this dreamer, she carried anxiety because she thought many times in her young life that she had a terrible disease and was going to die, or that other people that she loved very much would suddenly die. And that wasn't illogical because that did happen. So there's kind of some underlying anxiety for that dreamer that she is making fantastic progress on.
So and the dreamer is talking about herself.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Thea's yeah. talking about Thea there.
Okay.
It's always wonderful when a dreamer projects on their own dream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that language. I thought it was great because I believe I'm an actor in a beautiful play that my soul sent me here to do. Thea is not her soul. Thea is a spark of her soul. I'm an actress in a play. Mm-hmm. And that's why all of this matters. And mm-hmm. and it doesn't really, too. Mm-hmm. That's my perspective.
Mm-hmm. You know, I see Viviana wanting to say something.
Go ahead, Billy. Go ahead.
Yeah, there was one thing that just keeps coming to me is, first of all, we did a podcast not too long ago with a woman named Kathleen Webster O'Malley. She wrote a book called Healing Wisdom of Your Dreams. And she tells the story of how she didn't know, she didn't know who her father was for up until she was like, you know, 12 or 13 or whatever. And she had this romanticized idea that they were like lovers and the world was against them and that's how she was conceived. And it turns out she found out much later in her life that her mother was violated and she was the product of that rape. And so for me, as imagining myself in that position, having to learn that knowledge about myself and realizing, well, you know, I accept my father. It's like he adopted me in vitro before I was even born. I was accepted. So that makes me feel like, you know, to me, that would be very reassuring and make me just feel great joy and honor that my father who raised me had the understanding that I would need love and care and attention. And I wasn't even born yet, you know, so there's something about all that thread between, I just was so fascinated with, you know, it's the mother's parents' house. It's my dad's younger sister. There's the baby daughter. Oh my God. That was buried with the mom. It makes me just want to cry. And then there's the three sons who we don't know what their experience was or if they've seen their mother or not in the dream space. But as Royce had said, I mean, and I was glad that Royce interjected there because I thought I was thinking, oh, that's exactly where Royce grew up on the prairie and in a farming community. And, you know, so there is that, you know, got to pull myself up by my bootstraps kind of attitude, you know?
So, and also the very real economic reality that you have to keep working or you're not going to be able to have food or pay the bills. I mean, it was very, you know, they had a lot, but not a lot of cash. So you have to keep going forward. Yeah.
Sure. So there's survival is a big piece of that. Right. So anyway, in my version of the dream, it makes me think about how as a young child, I was gifted with some remarkable abilities that overwhelmed me. And that's why I've kept feeling all these feelings of like, oh, everybody's adoring me at 2. And then suddenly at 5, people start dying. And mm-hmm. I have to accept that hard reality at such a young age. So I would think to myself, was part of my calling, even at that young age, to help others accept and understand death. And to help them see the transformational process because Aunt Kay comes to me and I crawl up in her lap and she's like, yeah, it is me. And she loves me. And so I have such a visceral experience with this at 4. And I, to this day, still remember this dream so clearly. Mm-hmm. Is that the beginning of the understanding that this is what I'm meant to do is to help others talk about their loss and be able to see the rebirth and possibilities of the transformation that's taking place.
I love that. Wow. I this is better than a spa day, guys, really. no, that's very beautiful. I've actually been told that I could have been a really good grief counselor. And I didn't think about that until I was, well, you know, past law school and things. So maybe that's what they were thinking. Thank you.
How Viviana needs this talk. I can see her energy again. And I want to say, I am a good grief counselor.
Oh.
I need to own that.
Yeah. Need not study it to be it, because I was born to be it. Right? What's coming out from going back, diving into the dream and the district descriptions, there's a lot of elements like earth, wind, fire that comes through. Mm-hmm. The stone fireplace, mm-hmm. Also green. Green to me is abundance, or it's the green, the grass is green, so it's also nature or the earth. There's the wooden rocking chair, so wood also, trees and the longevity of trees and bringing it. So, and then there's the spirit of Aunt Kay. So it just, there's an element of, viscerally just hitting me on so many levels: earth, wind, fire, spirit, the, what is it, mother, father, and the Holy Spirit. Just all, it's just such a dynamic and powerful dream that I was gifted with, that I am bringing mm-hmm. forward now for others to learn and heal with as well. I found very beautiful.
Thank you for pointing out the elements. I had felt that, but it never really had come to the mm-hmm. front of my mind. So thank you. That's wonderful.
Well, the drama of this dream is so high. And Viviana, I appreciate, I started to remember the scenery in this dramatic movie/dream. Mm-hmm. And I forget that every element in the dream is there out of purpose, for a purpose, not out of it, but for a purpose. And so in the Gestalt sense, the fireplace, the stone is me, the rocking chair is me, the wood is me, Aunt Kay is me, I am me, the floor is me. And all of these are a part of aspects of this dream that are creating for me meaning and beauty and purpose, and that I can draw upon, am drawing upon, in order for the fulfillment of this dream to continue throughout my life.
Thank you for that, Viviana. Yeah, that's one. Now I want to say something about wood, because wood shows up often in people's dreams, and it mm-hmm. dreams love to speak in puns and metaphors. So wood, WOOD, often stands for WOULD. What would happen if, or so this is a wooden rocking chair. So wouldn't it be great if I accepted my calling? Wouldn't it be wonderful if I had been handed something different in my life? You know, there's all this wood, the word wood has, it contains so much of the energy of desire. And I won't go too deep into this, but in the fairy tales, where the character of the fairy tale, the hero or the heroine, one of the first things they're often tasked with is cleaning out the cinders of the fireplace. And that's why Cinderella is called Cinderella, because she has little smudges on her cheeks. So that lets us know that that person, it's like a sign to the world, this person is doing their cinder work. And we have to take out the cinders of the fireplace in order to burn new wood. Nothing happens. It'll suffocate the fire. So there's a need to get rid of the old burned desires, those things that did not manifest or work in my life, and then put in the new wood for fuel. So I take that from just the wooden rocking chair, because it leads to that thread of the wood, WOULD.
Thank you. I'm starting to understand why this dream has stayed with me for 56 years.
Yeah.
And that it still brings me to tears when I think about it. Then they're good tears. They're goosebump tears.
That's the cleaning out of the cinders. Let the tears flow so that all of those things that are still in the fireplace need to come. It needs to come out so many things can be burned. Mm-hmm. And also think, I always encourage people to work on childhood dreams, but the other piece I always talk about is that no dream has an expiration date. So this is another example of how, as the dreamer, I can work a dream from 56 years ago and it still resonates for me. If I still remember the dream and have that emotional charge connected to it, it's still talking to me.
Mm-hmm. And what it said has definitely evolved and grown much more sophisticated over the years and led me to where I am now.
So do you want to share with us some of your projections onto what your original projections were onto the dream, says, and how it might have evolved over all these years?
I'd be happy to, because part of my approach to my life now is, even though I live in the Bible Belt, and even though I have many, many people around me that are very religious, I'm going to speak my truth. And my truth is that, as I mentioned, I believe that the soul survives consciousness, that we are light beings that can connect to the divine because we are the divine. And I have thought for many years, and this has been an evolution for me, that really the wall came down when I found out, the day I found out the truth of my paternity. And my dear brother and darling husband said, if there was ever a good time to talk to a therapist, it would probably be now. I said, not talk to a therapist. I'm going to find myself a really good psychic. And they were like, okay, we'll just sit back. And 2 days later, my best friend from law school had found a woman in Arizona. And now she is my most prolific author. And I work with her on a daily basis, getting her messages out into the world. But I believe that Aunt Kay's spirit literally visited me. And I liked what Roy said earlier, that it could be literal or imagination, because that's how I want to express my views when I give them to people. I am not proselytizing. I am not saying this is what you need to think. I'm just saying this is how I think, and it makes me feel good. And maybe it is imagination or maybe it's not, but it's definitely helping me become the person that I feel that I'm here to be. So I think Aunt Kay came and visited me, and I crawled up in her ethereal lap, and she gave me, wrapped me in beautiful white light. And I believe she did that at least with her oldest sister. And I find that extremely comforting.
And again, she's like my adopted aunt, right? Because there's no biological connection, right?
But I believe we're all one.
Well, sure.
Yeah. I know. And at the time I had the dream, and I will say, until I found out when I was 49, I had not for one second in my life ever thought that the man who raised me was not my biological father. I had never for one second entertained that notion. It was an absolute shock to learn that.
Yeah.
But I was ready for it. And it led me on my path. And it's been a tremendously positive thing. The truth will set you free. Wow. And it definitely set me free.
Part of how this speaks to me is that this kind of experience of life, very earthy and in some sense broken experience, or plural experiences of life, reveal that life is full of all things, you know, and in their earthy sense, the street sense, the life is full of the good and the bad and the ugly. Okay. And a dream like this does not promise, because I have beautiful insight and beautiful awarenesses, the dream never promises that life is a piece of cake, so to speak. The promise of life is that, and this is my view, that we're called to live authentically, to experience all of life and to do our best, however we are, whatever we do, to do our best to be vulnerable and transparent and authentic. And so we will have, because Earth is full of suffering, we will have, because Earth is full of beauty, we will have joy and beauty and suffering. And all of this is what the dream for me is calling me to be aware of. If Aunt Kay could have used her magic wand and wiped away every tear, she would have done that. She could not do that. What she does give, though, is a presence that reminds me, holds me in this realm of light, that I can always move towards health, healing, wholeness, and wisdom, no matter what.
Royce, there's a reason I'm publishing your book. You have a beautiful voice that the world needs to hear. Thank you.
Oh, and to tease you and to be serious, if I were Thea with the story that and the dream that I shared today, if I haven't written my book, I'm going to write my book.
That is on my to-do list. It's kind of funny. Here I am, a publisher, but what I really want to do is to speak. And it'll happen when the time's right. I have a few other things I need to get done first.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny, Thea, because people tell me all the time, say, "Oh, Billy, you should write a book." And I say, "Yeah, it's on my to-do list." I said exactly the same thing because I'm always so busy.
But yeah, writing a book is a commitment, and it's a big investment of your heart and your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it feels good when you're done.
So,
sister.
I wanted to check in with you and see, does it feel like this is a good place to stop, or is there anything else you want to look at in the dream space or anything else about the unfoldment of the life story, which is just as powerful and symbolic?
Oh, well, I'm having a really good feeling in my stomach, and I have some goosebumps, and so I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling very energized. So thank you for all the insight and wisdom you shared. I appreciate it a lot.
Well, thank you, Thea, for sharing such a profound and wonderful dream. Once again, Thea's website is flinthillspublishing.com. Is that the best place to contact you, Thea?
Yes, or my email is thea@flinthillspublishing.com. And I am always looking for new work. If you are an author, if you are interested in getting some help with developmental editing, we have a couple new editors on board who are working with people. And if you are thinking about becoming an author, just send me an email and I'll send you a book that I have written about legal issues for authors. Because I with my social justice background, I get very upset when authors are taken advantage of. So that's an area I've really developed speaking. And then I have this book that introduces authors to all the legal and business things you need to do before you become a published author. So that would be my gift I'd want to give your listeners if they want to reach out to me.
So generous of you, Thea. And I mean, I just speaking because it's a part of the topic, I had a car accident in 2020, broke my femur, and now I have glaucoma and it marred my face a bit. anyway, when it happened and I couldn't do any my normal life, I wrote my book, but I just stashed it on the wall and I just thought, well
you've got my email now.
Someday. But anyway, I think that you're offering to offer this legal counseling for authors is amazing, as well as being a publisher and so open with wanting to help other authors, budding authors especially.
And I had a question. You mentioned the psychic that is one of your prolific authors, but I didn't hear her name.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Her name is Joan Sibinski.
Okay.
Sibinski. And the group that she and I put together in 2019, and then it really grew during the pandemic, is called The Circle, led by Joan Sibinski. And our website is thecirclegrp.com. And I would, anybody who is a seeker who wants to learn more about how to, our philosophy is we're all born psychic. You shouldn't have a guru. You can all learn it yourself. And that's really the focus of The Circle, is to help people open their psychic abilities, but then also just to raise the vibration of the world, because that's what we need to do to create the world that we need. We're at a tipping point, and let's go the right way, because this place is, it's an awesome place. It's definitely worth keeping healthy.
Yeah, oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for asking.
thecirclegrp.com.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, RoyceFitz.com needs to tell us a little bit about what's on offering at RoyceFitz.com.
Well, may I underline a lot of what has been discussed today, is that I do have a book coming out in the spring. We promise each other, right, Thea?
Absolutely.
And it is my passion to express these aspects of myself, because I feel like it invites other people to explore their own. And the title of the book is The Geography of the Soul, Dreams, Reality, and the Journey of a Lifetime. And that is, again, a way to not just tell my story. It is for all of us to explore our stories, as Thea has so beautifully shared today, how to grow and heal in the midst of life, as with all of the beauties and the tragedies of life, how to create meaning and beauty and purpose. So you can reach me at RoyceFitz.com, by the way. You can also get a free introduction of the book on the website. And so feel free to do that.
RoyceFitz.com. And Billy Ortiz, tell us about WakeUpToYourDreams.com.
Yes, I offer private dream sessions, and I run two dream groups throughout the month, one that meets during the day, one that meets during the evenings. And I also train and mentor others to become dream workers themselves through the Rocky Mountain Institute for Projective Dreamwork. So WakeUpToYourDreams.com.
Fabulous. Well, and I'm Viviana.
My book is on my to-do list. I loved it that she said that too. I thought, I just said that yesterday to somebody.
Move it up to the top, Billy.
All right. I'm sorry.
I've been telling Billy too. When are we going to get your book? Well, I'm Viviana, and I'm a musician. Viviana.org, Viviana.org. And my astrology, tarot, dream, sound healing self is in the process of being at Viviana.org/magic. So this has been Healing Dreams Project. Thank you once again, Thea, for joining us. It has been such a pleasure to hear your journey, your dream. And you, dreamer, listener, dreamer, If you have a dream for us, we do have a dream hotline, and that number is 720-573-9195. We'd love for you to call in your dream. It could be a snippet. It could be up to 2 minutes of a dream, 720-573-9195. You can find us on Pandora, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok,
Spotify, Pocket Casts.
All the current streaming platforms.
All the streaming platforms. We'd love it if you shared or even tell a friend about us if you enjoyed this episode. We are here just discussing the language of stories, symbols, metaphors, and archetypes for your health and wholeness. Until next time, happy dreaming.